This cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperiencing a lot of those things.
And you win it, the new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? Best. It's some kind of news. I'm coming all the way from the other end of the pond. My brother Max came out for the United game, sir. The Old Trafford were in fine voice until the wheels came off very early. You have to keep me honest on the timeline, but a rough night, a dark night in Manchester. The mood was buoyant heading in, but on the way out, you know, half mix of fans just pissed, half heartbroken because I know it's the end of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's reign as Manchester United manager.
Sir, it's great to talk to you. It's been a little while. You know, that was to travel all that way for that bitter defeat. How we doing?
Sir, you know what? Everything but the result was 5-star. You know, I've had a great time, brother and I, down in London, hanging out with the Old Trafford faithful, the Manchester United fans at the Lowry, seeing the boys walk in last night, seeing the bars up and running again, being at the Bishop's Blaze. And even walking in, even down 5-0 at the end, sir, the fans came back in the last 10, 15 minutes and chanted the players off the field. So this club is there. It's just that, you know, they know we're in a bad place. They know this is a catalyst for new change, but times are changing, sir. Expectations have risen and things are just crumbling all around.
The Stratford End was a rising, sir. You know, that's how we do it. The season ticket holders, the American Red Devils, sir, you're the first to sit in our seats in the Stratford End. How were they? How was it going into the game? I know the result.
Yeah. We don't need to talk about the performance because it was pretty bad from the stands. But the stadium looks as good as I've seen it. You know, definitely needs a rework whenever that's coming. But we woke up. It was raining. Tickets, sir, they weren't as easy to sort as you would have thought. Still waiting for that email. Still waiting for the email that's going to have my ticket in it. We had to go back twice and get it reprinted. But, like, everything was packed. Busiest I've ever seen Old Trafford. Busiest I've seen in front of it. Cops were out everywhere. You know, they must have learned from what happened in the spring with everybody, you know, making their voices heard, sir. But, like, everybody was optimistic. The people that didn't look optimistic was the players, sir. In warm-up, last night, showing up at the hotel, they just, like, there was no confidence in the team. Almost like they knew it was a foregone conclusion. Go through the motions, sir, but it was a tough day. Tough day at Old Trafford.
That's really interesting. You said you picked up on the body language. So, yeah, obviously you're staying at the Lowry in Manchester. We stayed there a few times before. Great spot. You said you could tell the energy of the squad coming into the hotel. Like, what'd you pick up on there? I know you sent some videos I posted on our Twitter, but what was, like, the energy? They kind of seemed not up for it. You picked up on that?
I mean, there was, like, I don't know how they normally greet fans, but, like, you know, it was all business. But even then, there was just, like, heads were down. Obviously, they get greeted like that all the time, but it just, you could tell that there was something missing. We saw Donny van de Beek first. He showed about 30, 40 minutes before the rest of the squad. That was the first hint. Something's out.
That is something's weird. With Donny. He's on the way bizarre. Out. That is very bizarre for him to show up. That I thought it was just he just came off early because I was just getting the photos from you. So he came off like that far ahead of the other team. Just like he's barely even part of the squad now. He's going to go in January is what we've been hearing.
And that's what it would appear to be, like, completely separate from the squad. And then everyone, like, was in the bus or showed up around with the bus. We saw Ronaldo, of course, go into that first crew that we had on video. But, like I said, everybody here, relatively confident. The mood last night at the Lowry Bar was relatively jovial. Everyone was excited. But, sir, I'll tell you what, midway game, and then that red card, that was it. People started leaving. people started leaving.
I've never seen people leave Old Trafford like that. That is just, I think it speaks to sort of where we're at as a fan group. And a big shout out to your brother, Max, a friend of the pod. He's come on the pod many times. Max, how you doing? How you feeling after that result?
Oh, boys, you know, good to be on the pod. You know, great to be over across the ponds with the big bro. You know, as Alex said, great weekend, a lot of energy. The boys were buzzing all today. We were at the Bishop Blaze for a good 4 or 5 hours.
Let's go.
Crushing brown ales, hooting and hollering. As you can tell, our voices are rattled. But, you know, again, we probably had more energy than the boys did on the field. It was, again, to come all this way, see the beautiful game at Old Trafford is a, you know, great experience. But to see a performance like that is something else. So nothing much else you can say.
It was a tough one. So obviously, you know, you said it's over for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Alex. You know, you're saying he's sacked in the morning. Sacked in the morning?
I mean, I don't know if front office is moving that quickly, that competently. But, like, everybody, I'll tell you what, we walked out. We couldn't get an Uber. Took forever. You know, doing one of those walks where you're, like, almost walking over bridges and stuff. The mood is, like, people can just, like, it's it. You know, like, there was, like, a kind of a finality to the game, in the sense that, like, everyone seemed to be in pretty much agreement that, like, that's it for old Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, bro.
Yeah,
what was the poll? What was the poll on Twitter?
I'll give you the live Ole in, Ole out. It said 92% out, 8% in. That's an all-time high. Again, people probably asking why we even have that poll. But you look, 440 votes. You know, you could see that Atalanta game, great vibes coming off that. And then you play against a real team, the, you know, benchmarks for winning the league, which is where we need to be given the money spent. And you get slapped around like that. I mean, that's the... Sorry, I mean, we haven't lost 5-0 to Liverpool since 1925. And even then, that was at Anfield. Could you ever imagine us beating them at Anfield 5-0? It's just... You can't overstate how embarrassing of a loss this is. You know, the 6-1 against Tottenham is pretty low, but that was a red card early with Martial. This one, it was over in the first 15 minutes, sir. You know, it's just, it was a tough watch, even at home for me, sir, on the couch. But let's jump in. This is going to be American Red Devils, a broad pod. It's going to be abbreviated. We're just going to get a quick recap. I know you went to Bishop's Blaze. You're probably checking the internet. You're looking for the starting 11. I'll read it out, and you can just give me your reactions, both you guys. We had Dave Saves, world number one in net. Luke Shaw at left back. Maguire, Lindelof, center back pairing. Wan-Bissaka on the right. We had good old McFred with cheese in the middle. You know, that's supposed to help preventing us from leaking goals. You got Rashford on the left, Bruno in the hole, and Greenwood on the right. Ronaldo up top, sir. I mean, what'd you make of this lineup? He goes back to the conservative lineup. That, you know, let two goals in early against Atalanta, right?
He did. So either it's going to work terrific and we're going to gazump him, or you're going to get like bamboozled early and we just look like we had no confidence, no idea, played the ball slowly, just like they pressed the shit out of us, couldn't pass out the back. McFred weren't doing anything. It was sideways. I'm telling you, it was sideways, and then they'd get the ball. And they would be like, bing, 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 bing. They would stitch together some good passing, get cut open, bite. We looked out of sorts.
Max, what do you think of the starting 11 there?
Max, what do you think of the starting 11, bud?
You know, sometimes when you see the lineup these days, it takes something special for me to get excited. But when I see the McFred with cheese and... You know, you don't have Varane back in the squad, so you know the back four is going to be leaky. And with Shaw not playing the way he was, and then nothing coming out from the front, it's, you know, it's hard to get excited. You know, you want to, and you get up for the game, but, you know, seeing these lineups week after week and nothing coming out of the same squad is, you know, what do I expect?
The unbelievable shock for me is... You know, look, we're not playing absolutely great. We're leaking goals early against Atalanta. You get away with it. So it's like, okay, Liverpool's coming to town. They're hot. We got to shore this ship. Like, so you got to play defensive and Ole presses. What do you guys make of him trying to go at Liverpool? I understand the idea of you're at home. The onus is on you to attack. But we're effective on the counter. I thought Rashford looked good in certain spots. I thought we should have been a little more conservative and then try to hit him on the counter, right? I think historically we've done well with that. Maybe not win, but try to go for a draw. You're playing a real hot team coming in. I think Ole got this the tactics totally wrong, and game is over in like 15 minutes.
So it might have been easy to like tune out on TV. Yeah, well, you watched the whole game standing, sir. Like, it was, I've never seen this team play worse. You know, and maybe it's enhanced by the fact that we're here, but I've never seen us play worse, even close. Like, I like Liverpool didn't even get out of second gear. They just like fucking rolled us. And every time we give the ball away, we got sliced wide open. Like, you know, I don't know. I can't even think of a proper analogy because it's been such a long day. But like, it was over early in the sense that, like, you know, the fans came back probably the second half, but like, it was over early. And it felt that way watching it. It felt that way in Old Trafford. It was like all the air got sucked out pretty quickly, especially in that first half. Were there four goals in the first half? I don't remember quite well. Or was it 3-0 heading in?
So I'll give you the brother. Sorry, out. I know. I'll hear. You guys sound like you went to battle. I mean, you went to battle with a couple of dark ales, singing your hearts out at Old Trafford.
And we won that battle.
Yeah, you won. I want to say a big thanks from all the American Red Devils fans for going out and representing us there. Look, it happened early. Bruno with the chance, or you're probably ripping and rocking. I don't know if you got to the seats, but Bruno had a great opportunity, I think, the third minute. And then right off of that, there was the counter, and you got the Naby Keita goal. I mean, just so open. The spaces have been there. Leicester exploited them. Atalanta exploited them, sir, even. And then, obviously, Liverpool did. 13th minute, Jota with a goal, sir. And then the 38th, Salah. We went in at three, down three, sir. We went in down three at half. So, not quite four, but that's game over. And then Salah with two in the second, the Pogba red card in the 60th. And there you have it, 5-0. There was the Ronaldo goal that VAR took back from being offside. It was tight. It was tight on that when they were drawing the lines. But again, probably the worst result I can remember in the history of me being a Manchester United fan. Obviously, like I said, the Champions League final defeats hurt, but you can't be embarrassed losing to like Barcelona in the Champions League final. This is your bitter rival coming to your house and slapping you all over the pitch. Unacceptable.
So we're like, we were a game away from being bottom of our group in Champions League. You know, I don't even know where we are on the table. Sure, it's not good. But it's just not good enough. It's nowhere near good enough. This team is brimming with talent. And we just look like we didn't even have an idea. Didn't even have a plan. Nothing doing. The players look like they had no confidence. So if it's like whatever's to be said about Ole and about what decision is about to be made or not be made, the players look like they have given up on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Like, given up. The fans have not given up on this club. That was the most emotional moment of the game. Was like, it must have been like the 80th minute. All of a sudden, the people that were left were just Stratford End Horizon, sir.
That's what it's about, though. That's what it's about for being
for the
a
last
fan,
25
you know?
Minutes. And like, dude, we had to outsting the Scousers for the end of it. But like, this club is great. This club has it. This club is ready to go. It's just waiting for someone to take us to the next level, sir. And it's like the team has outgrown the manager, and it's nothing personal. He's a legend. He'll always be a legend. But it's like he got us to a good point. We're in a better position today than we would have been had it might have been someone else, you know? Now it's ready for someone like you got to have a big deal manager come in and take us to the next level because the squad has got to be good enough to at least compete. You don't have to win it, but you got to be competing. And whatever today was, wasn't even competing, bro. That was like. Because like I said, the Scousers never got out of second gear. They weren't even that good. We were fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's a total different feel when you're in the stadium. You don't have the Muppets. Sorry, I tried to watch the NBC coverage, the NBC LFC.
Why would you?
Dude, I like the pregame, they had like some guy from Ted Lasso. They were like Arlo White's talking about Ted Lasso. It's like the greatest football rivalry England has to offer, and they're talking about Ted fucking Lasso, dude. I switched to Telemundo, dude. Those guys, like, dude, it's just like it's unbelievable. They tried to make it like a college football game day in LA, and it's like that's not what it's about. It's about the rich history between these two clubs, what this game means, and as fans, you know, you can't be having Liverpool come and let in five. The amount matters. The amount of goals we let in matters. If you let in two, then shore up ship and let it be two. But you can't be just bleeding goals. I mean, the best thing that happened was we didn't concede after the red card. I mean, that's the only bright spot on the day, you could really say. And what'd you make of the Pogba red card? I thought that's something, you know, like, hey, you're down five. Fuck it, right? It's like, I don't mind that from Paul Pogba.
We didn't mind that. You know, good to see Paul out. At that point, like, you wanted some action. You wanted some life. I spilled the water on the guy in front of me. He goes, no, no worries. He woke me up. He spilled it to wake me up. It was just like, dude, the fans were hurting. And they didn't give a shit that Pogba got sent off. We didn't lose because Pogba got sent off. We got probably lost because Pogba didn't start. And probably lost before the 11 got picked, sir. It was just never going to happen. They're rolling.
So what is it? Is it Zidane? Because like our self-proclaimed insider on the Discord, check out the American Red Devils Discord if you want to hear from him. He says, good source, Ole sacked tomorrow. And he says it's Zidane till the end of the season, sir. What do you make of that news? I know I'm kind of, you're not checking Discord over there because the internet,
sir, the Lowry is, Discord.
Internet the Lowry is spotty. It's tell everyone about the internet last night. Everyone's playing Call of Duty, right? All the Manchester United players playing Call of Duty.
They rolled in with their there's like some branded thing, like the Rolling Warzone. Sancho had it, Lingard had it, they're ready to go. They must have spent too much time sucking up the 3G last night, so they had nothing left on the field.
What do you make? You hear Zidane. Ole out in the morning, Zidane. How do you feel? Both you
that
and would Max. Be
sir, that honestly, even before this, the way it was going, we talk about it. You know, identifying that next option. He's who I want. He's a class manager. He will allow us to attract the top talent in Europe. He is a class manager. He's taken teams that were fucking like rimming with talent that just needed whatever he's got. And you know what? He's won it. He's won a shit ton. He's won both times he went to Real Madrid, both stints. And I think most importantly, he's a class act. Conte. People don't want Conte, bro. Here, people have already talked about it. There are murmurs before the game today. Like, this is the coach that if we pulled off, people would be very excited about. They'd be very excited about it because he's a class act. And Conte, former Chelsea scum, not a class act, bro.
I completely agree. Max, what are your thoughts on Ole being sacked and then Zidane coming in?
You know, Zidane's exciting. I think that's all I can say. You know, any team would have a bounce after when you're in the pits like this, like we've been playing, and to have someone that's, you know, a proven winner, Champions League winner, what, four times, plus he's managed Cristiano, so he could hopefully get the best out of him, is, you know, it's exciting. But again, we haven't seen this board move that fast before. If that was to happen, it would be, you know, kind of shocker news, but as we could all see it, better now than later. Better now than waiting until December when everything's too far out of our reach. So I think Zidane would be the best option.
Yeah, and as United fans, look, now's the time. He's got to go. He's got to go. Look, there's a week. We got a week until our next match. Like, thank God that we have some more time. You look at the break right now, he's got to go now. Right? I also think that if there's a midweek fixture, Atalanta away, right? That would change the calculus. You can't sack Ole when you got to be traveling in a day to Italy. So I think if you look at the timing of the fixtures, we have a week before we play Tottenham on the 30th. I think the timing, everything says now. And if the board don't act now, I mean, like, do they even watch these games? Is the question I got. So, you know, for everyone saying, yeah, Ole this, Ole that, look, he might not be doing a good job now. He's got us to a better spot, but the board is the one that we got to be asking questions of. As always, hashtag Glazers out, because you look at the timing around this, he's got to be dismissed now. October 30th, we play Tottenham. November 2nd, Atalanta. November 6th, Man City. Sir, if you want to go back, you want to travel back and go to Man City, watch it at home. Fully still at the wheel. November 20th, you go to Watford, then Villarreal, Chelsea, and Arsenal. Think of those fixtures. So if you don't get rid of them now, when are you going to? You know what I'm saying? So it is early to dismiss a manager, but I think it's the right time because no matter who you bring in, you're going to get that bounce. You can't play worse than this. 5-0, Scouse Bastards at home, sir. Over 100 years for a worse result. I mean, you got to take him out. Now,
how many shots do we have on target, sir? I don't have. We got no stats.
Okay, I got. Okay,
barely got Wi-Fi.
I got the stats here. Shots on target: Liverpool 8-4. possession, 64% to Liverpool to our 36%, and that we weren't sitting off the ball. We were pressing. Remember, we were trying to win the ball back. it's pretty bad. Match reactions, Manchester United have only lost by a larger margin in this fixture in October 1895 as Newton Heath in the second division when the Scouse Bastards beat a 7-1 again at Anfield. So we have never lost by this margin at home, which again, in history, which has to be said with an exclamation point. And Liverpool are only the second team in the English top flight history to win consecutive away games by a margin of 5+ goals. Don't care about that. And Manchester United have lost by a margin of 5 or more goals at Old Trafford without scoring themselves for the first time since a 5-0 defeat at home in the Manchester Derby in 1955 under Matt Busby. So I doubt there's parallels. We're always going to turn it around. Look, you know, you guys got some fun plans tonight. I'm not going to keep you around. This is the American Red Devils Abroad abbreviated sort of recap. Give us the most exciting thing of the trip, and then give us the low.
Most exciting thing of the trip. You know, being at Old Trafford today, being in the area around Old Trafford, that was just like, it went from pissing rain to a beautiful sunny day. So something was smiling down on us, sir. Like, right, the ball was about to be kicked off. So it was a beautiful day of football, other than the result.
How was Mitchell's Blaze?
In good voice. Say again?
How was Bishop's Blaze?
Sir, Bishop's Blaze was too busy. Too busy. The best was that we were standing by the exit. Nice breeze. But when the beers got brought in, like, you know, the reserve beers, like, the, hey, this is like the victory beers. Everyone starts cheering the beers in.
Yeah.
That was a highlight. Sorry, dude, Manchester still got it. Manchester United still got it. Old Trafford still got it. We need to get our mojo back, and the only way you're going to do that is by, like, ripping the Band-Aid off, sir. We'll see if they do it in the morning, but we're watching the sky as soon as we break with you, my man.
So what do you got planned for the rest of the evening? You hitting up?
Sleep, bro. Sleep, bro. Cancel our dinner reservation. We're getting room service. They got a great kids' video at the Lowry.
All right, boys. Well, hey, you know, tough result, but sounds like a great day out at home at Old Trafford. Have a safe trip home, and we'll see you back in the bunker shortly. Alex and Max, have a safe trip back to the Beast Coast. Let's hope we get a new manager soon.
Sir, we'll find out. Maybe we'll have new news by the time I land, but good to talk to you. Sending the best across the pond, sir. I'll see you soon, my man.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Max, for jumping on as well.
Great to be on, boys. You know, big-time supporter. Love the pod. Keep up the good work. Let's go. Let's go. Glory, glory.
All right, lads. Have a good one. Enjoy that room service. Get some Z's. What a day.
Later, boys.
Cheers.
Out.
All right. There you have it. That was Alex and Max out in Manchester. It's just going to be John in the bunker closing out the pod. Covered most of sort of the quick abbreviated match recap. Just really wanted to get them on the phone, see how the game was. Checking in on the table. I had to look at it because Alex, our resident table checker, is obviously across the pond. This result leaves us in seventh, 14 points tied with Everton, Leicester City, and Arsenal. Interesting. Sixth and fifth would be Brighton and Tottenham at 15 points. West Ham in fourth with 17. They did pip Tottenham today. Shitty with 20. Scouse Bastards with 21. And then Chelsea with 22. Again, Man Shitty, Scouse Bastards, Chelsea, tight title race, one that we should be in. Right now, we are 6 points off the mark. It is not too far gone for us to be back in it if we can get a new manager in, or, you know, if the board doesn't act and somehow Ole can turn it around. I just feel like once you hit that low, right, Atalanta was like either you have the Atalanta result and you come out and you play amazing against the Scouse Bastards. Once you go that low, I've seen a few managers dismissed. I think that is the low. I think that is what gets you fired and what should get you fired at Manchester United. Again, nothing against Ole. It's just the way football goes. At certain moments in time, you know, you just need a new blood. It doesn't make sense really with, you know, trying to compare American sports. Usually coaches are fired at the end of the season. You think of baseball, football, probably basketball as well, also hockey. No one really mid-season, but in sort of football in Europe, firing a coach this early when results are this bad can turn things around. We saw Ole come in after Mourinho, right? The big loss to Liverpool. He got sacked, and then boom, the big bounce. Ole's at the wheel. We know the story. He got the job after that. So there usually is a bounce. A bounce is what we need, some fresh ideas, some fresh blood. And the real indictment of Ole is, look at the team we got. Arguably, we have a better team than the Scouse Bastards. Donnie is apparently on the block. Like, look at that midfield. How could we not use them? Jadon Sancho doesn't even get a sniff. There's a lot of questions on sort of the management of this team, and that has to be laid at the feet of the manager. And when you're making bold calls of McFred with cheese day in, day out, and you're looking that bad, then it's on the coach. It's on the manager. And obviously, blame should go on the players. Look at that shambolic defending. Look at Shaw out of position, Maguire. It looked schoolboy stuff at times, but a coach is brought in to fix that. Because Maguire is making mega money, and these players, they're going to be here for a while, and you need to find a coach that can get the best out of the talent you have. And at the moment, I think that's the fastest way Manchester United can turn things around. Whether Zidane's the man, whether Conte's the man, whether Eddie Howe's the man, who knows what Manchester United is going to come up with. It's just sad. You hear it in the intro. The voices of managers past. Moyes, LVG, Mourinho, and then soon Ole will be there. You know, if the board does decide to act swiftly, which I think they should, I think that this result you can't hide from. Even in Florida, the Glazers need to make a move. They need to get somebody in. I think that man might be Zidane, according to our insider source on our Discord. Going to check in with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, the man, a few clips from his post-match presser. We're just going to play it because you got to listen to what the man has to say here. This could be the end. We got to check in with the man, the manager at Manchester United for the moment, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. What does he have to say about this historical defeat to our bitter rival?
It must be difficult to find the words, but what can you say about a truly awful day for your side?
No, it's not easy to say something apart from it's the darkest day I've had leading these players, and we weren't good enough individually as a team. Can't give a team like Liverpool them chances, and unfortunately we did.
Where and how, from your perspective, did it unravel?
Well, the whole performance wasn't good enough. That's for sure. We've created openings. They've had chances. They've been clinical. We didn't take our chances early on, and then the third goal obviously is the one that decided the game.
It must be difficult.
There you go. You have it from Ole. He says the darkest day he's had leading these players. More from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer here. Post game comments
as well.
It's mine. That's it. You know, the coaching staff, very, very good, brilliant. And I choose the way we approach the game. So, and today we weren't clinical enough going forward. There were spaces for both teams. And when you give good player spaces, they score.
Did you get it wrong in terms of trying to press them rather than playing on the counter, which most of your sides normally do?
You know, that's a good question. I can't say anything others. We're at home. We're playing against Liverpool. We've gone here over the last two and a half years and had a similar approach to go high press. And today they scored on their chances early on that they haven't done before. And I think Man United, we should always try at home to go and stamp our authority on the game, like I said before.
At what point in your mind did it become damage limitation?
4-0. That fourth goal there is the one that you go into half-time with having to score more than one every 15 minutes. I know these boys are capable of it, but on the fourth, you know, there's extra time first half. You think you can get to half-time and organise everyone. But fourth, that was probably game over.
All right, he said it there. Not a lot from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And again, I think, did he say the fourth goal went in after halftime? I think ESPN.com I was running off of. I think they actually got the score, the game recap wrong. So apologies if we did get that goal tally wrong when it was scored, just because there's so much going on. Yeah, there you go. It was the plus, the Mohamed Salah goal plus an extra time here. I'm going through the match commentary, just making sure we get it right. Yep, there you go. It was 50th minute, so the ESPN score tracker had it wrong, but it was 4-0. So Max was right when he was talking to me earlier. Apologies about that one. Got a lot of things going on here in the pod bunker. Power going out, trying to connect them. This is actually the second run that we had at the podcast because there's a storm here in the Bay Area. And essentially, the power's been going on and off. And we're trying to make do with what we got. So a lot of things going on. But either way, whenever they scored, it was absolutely horrible. And that's why, you know, there were technically two goals in the 50th minute, one in stoppage time in the first half, and then another one by Salah in the second half. He becomes the second Liverpool player ever to have a hat-trick against Manchester United. But those words from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you know, they don't really... They look like a man who doesn't have answers, right? He's taking the blame, he's taking it on the chin, and that's good for him. I've heard other sort of fans talk about how he should resign. Look, Ole's not resigning. He can't resign. He has millions of pounds on the line. If he's sacked, he gets that. He has to be fired. He will not resign. No one's going to forego 10 million pounds or X million pounds. Nobody would ever do that. That's financially insane. He will not resign. He's good to just... He's there for the sack, and credit to him for taking the blame. I think Ole has managed the press well. I think, you know, he, throughout his tenure at Manchester United, that's probably the best thing he's done. And in a defeat like this, he didn't shy away. It's the worst moment in his managerial career at Manchester United, and it's his fault. He made the tactical decisions, and it didn't work out, and he's taking the blame. So a class act to the end, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. You have to give him credit for that. Just going to hear a quick reaction from Gary Neville on Sky Sports here. Going to pull this up. He was asked if that was a shocker.
Yes and no. I didn't think it would ever get as bad as that today. As bad as it's been in this fixture or as distance as there's been between the two clubs over maybe 40, 50 years. It's always been a tight game, more often than not. And today, that was a shocker. An absolute shocker. And the timing couldn't have been worse because it's been building now for a few weeks. Against what I've called half-decent teams. And as soon as they played a proper team, they'd been obliterated, pulled to pieces, dismantled. And I didn't think they would play like that today because I thought they'd flick a switch, but you can't flick a switch in football. That Manchester United group of players, they get outrun. They're one of the lowest running teams in the league. We know that from the stats that we see week in, week out. And there's nothing worse than being told you're one of the lowest running teams in the league and that you're easy to play against. But they are both. And that's a poor reflection upon the manager, the staff, and the players.
And what about their approach today? We heard from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer saying we have to be on the front foot. Did they get it completely wrong?
Dave, I watched the game back against Leicester last week on the big tactical camera to try and get an understanding of what Manchester United are trying to do. You know, Graham just mentioned there about a style of play. I was trying to understand how they are told to defend. What's the plan? And the first half against Leicester, it was a team that was relatively compact, nowhere near as compact as most of the other teams in the league, but they were sat back in the shape. Something changed at half-time, whether it's an event, whether it's a goal against them or a chance, but all of a sudden they start to have these sporadic presses where you see Greenwood go and press Soyuncu or you see Rashford go and press Canati today. And in the first half, they were a mixture of sitting back in the shape and looking like they were trying to be behind the ball. But then the next breath, all of a sudden, you'd see a mad little jog, not sprint, by the way, from Greenwood towards Van Dijk. Then you'd see Wan-Bissaka ambling towards Robertson. He gets passed behind to Jota and Lindelof's trying to get across. And it's all too late. And that's a pattern. It's inherent in them. So they've got no structure to press from, along with the fact that they don't run as hard as the other teams. And they're easy to play against.
All right, Gary Neville with a pretty damning verdict of Manchester United. And that's where I come out at the end of the day is how can you... You can't play like that at this level, right? I've watched a lot of football for Manchester United throughout the years. You know, you can go for a game, but you can't be that out of sorts. We're disorganized, sloppy at the back, horrible passing, low effort, low energy. Like, we're easy to play against. That is what kills me the most. Why not pack it in? Why not hit him on the counter? We've seen Ole do this to teams before. He's done it against City. He's done it against Tottenham back in the day. Ole knows how to play that. And for some reason, it seems like we're getting worse. Ole, I thought, has been learning on the job. He knew sort of how to play the bigger opposition, and we needed to focus on breaking down the low block. And then now it looks like he's lost the plot, and the players have as well. So when things start unraveling and going in this direction, like we said, the writing's on the wall. I'm going to also play the words from Paul Scholes midweek. I think these are the most critical words against Atalanta. So relevant to what we watched today. Paul Scholes, when he speaks, we listen, unless he's... The whole toe thing was very disturbing, but you know, he has a lot of good things to say here for his coverage for BT Sport.
They've come back. Great spirit, yeah. Great fighting spirit. They conceded still so many chances. Now, if you're playing against quality players, there's no way you're winning that game. Not a chance you're winning that game. And now everyone will get a little bit carried away with this euphoria now. Will he play that way on Sunday against Liverpool? It was that brilliant. It was that good. Everyone's smiling. Everyone's happy. Go and do that on Sunday against Liverpool. See what happens. Well, imagine Jurgen Klopp at home watching that game in the first half, rubbing his hands together.
And that's the real point. The problems were there against the sixth. They're sixth in Serie A. They're not even that good of a team. And when you play against Scousebastards flying high, it's not going to be good. I think we've heard from the pundits. We heard from Alex having a few dark ales. Is glad to hear the fans were singing late in the game. That's what it's all about. And in the America for Devils, we are for fans by fans. And if you haven't traveled to watch Manchester United home or away, the away support for me is very special. I've gone to a few away games, and that's what it's all about. Even if you're losing four goals, the away end is bouncing, right? Because it's about a community. It's about a group of fans supporting this club that they love. No matter the result on the day, that love for the club never changes. And in these tough moments, that's what we should be thinking about as fans. It's a community. We all love this club through the lows and the highs. And that's why the Stretford End was arising in the 80th minute. That is a special part of this football team. We aren't plastic fans. We aren't PSG fans. We aren't Chelsea fans. You can insert a club here. Manchester United fans stand and sing the entire game, no matter what the result, because we love this club. Without further ado, let's get into Twitter. Saying that, I'm sure there's going to be some really harsh opinions and tweets from you guys, the fans here. Kicking it off at Dave Paz. Quote, replacing Ole is a massive task. Even though he has run out of ideas on the pitch, no one can deny how he has transformed the club since Jose. United can't afford to do the same thing again, flip-flopping between managers and styles. The next manager needs to be the right one. Totally agree. We got to stop the bleeding here. The question is, the board is on going to be on manager number five since Sir Alex Ferguson. Sir Alex Ferguson picked David Moyes. He's gone. You heard the Tony Kroos news. Apparently, he was going to come in the next season. The Glazers sacked Moisey. We never got Kroos. Who knows what could have happened then? But, you know, Moisey was kind of out of his depths. Nobody's going to disagree with that. In comes LVG. He doesn't play the Manchester United away. Wins the FA Cup, sacked the next day. What will we do for an FA Cup today? Then Mourinho does Mourinho things, fights with Paul Pogba. He gets the sack. Ole comes in. Now we're on our next manager. So what do you do? Zidane, Conte are available. You got to go in for one of them. They're the top coaches available. You just got to get a good coach in and just hope that we can get a bounce and somehow salvage the season and kind of look at the roster. Somebody has to be able to get something better out of these players. I mean, at the end of the day, nobody could have predicted Liverpool coming into our house. As bad as we've been playing, no one could have predicted 5-0. I predicted 5-2. I thought we'd lose, but we'd score at least with the talent that we have. This was even worse. At Mike United Mets, we can discuss the manager all we want, but at some point, the players have to look themselves in the mirror. We had worse teams under the same coach that beat Liverpool and City. We lost to Spurs 6-1 and turned it around. Let's turn it around. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. Look, Mike, I think you're in the give Ole time camp, and I don't disagree with that. I just think that this one is lower than the Spurs 6-1. Spurs 6-1 didn't really have a preseason. There was that red card early. This is sort of which direction are we heading, and I think we kind of know at this point. Look, the board might give Ole time, and I'm not rooting against Manchester United. I'll be cheering them on no matter what. I just, at this point, the players have to be questioning Ole at the moment, because this is just unprecedented result against the Scouse Bastards. At Ike underscore Yagola, quote, Maguire was horrendous. The amount of mistakes he has made over the 2 weeks is mind-blowing. The indecision at this club was clear for all to see. Ole should have resigned the last international break. I hear you, Ike, but he's not going to resign. He has guaranteed money. If he's fired, he takes a big payday. You and me both would be rather get fired than resign and get the cash. You can't blame him for that. At the Alex Davis 33, shit performance, horrid defending, and I've seen better shooting on, I'm not even going to say it. Who do we look at for manager? Conte, Zidane, Rodgers, fucking beg Jose to come back. Personally, I want Ten Hag and Van der Sar brought into work together, but owners have no ambition. I agree. This one feels like a Zidane job just because of the Varane, Pogba, Martial. We have a bunch of French players. Also, he managed Ronaldo at Real Madrid. There's sort of a star-studded dressing room. Who could get the best out of that? Conte seems sort of like a nut job, like Mourinho fight with the players type of guy. Zidane just seems like he can get the best out of a group of all-stars. And at the moment, give him a season, see how that goes. He has no job at the moment. So I think Zidane might be the man. At T. Zolski, sirs, completely understand if you need to pod off since his team and manager took the day off too. Look, Todd, pod never sleeps, and it was great to hear Alex. You can hear his voice. I mean, that's how we sound after going to a game. You're singing, you're standing for 2 hours. Unbelievable. Last tweet here, at Ty Kircher, quote, embarrassing does not even begin to explain that absolute shit show. Where's the heart in the squad? We're a shambles. 1 point from 12. I mean, it's rough. I'm done. Still legend, but Ole out. Complete insanity for almost 2 months now. It ain't working. Worst I've ever felt under Ole. Absolutely. This is the lowest of low. Even Ole admitted it, right? Ole's not saying everything's fine. You know, you bring in Varane, you bring in Sancho, you bring in Ronaldo. You expect to get better. And when we are on the slide, like I said, Ole knew how to play against big teams. You defend, hit him on the counter. We've done that. You have Sancho, you have Rashford, you have Ronaldo. You think you would counter. You're playing two CDMs. You think you would defend tight and then counter. Ole goes to do this half-assed press. Like, you heard Gary Neville breaking it down. It's not working. It's bad football. It's shambolic. It's schoolboy stuff. Even Paul Scholes, Michael Owen breaking the game down. They're like, the stuff that they are doing wrong, you learn at the age of 12 and 13. The coaching staff is just not getting the best out of this group of players. And it's not controversial in football to change the manager. It really isn't. It's the only reason why it's controversial for us fans is because Ole's a United legend. Time to change the manager. And if that guy doesn't work, then you get another one. It's just how it works in this sport. It's different from American sports. Changing the manager gives you that boost. It's what these players need. You know, you look at that bench and you have a lot of questions for Ole, and he's not being able to get them right at the moment. Look, that is it. That is the podcast. We tried our best to get you something while Alex is in the UK. I'm in the pod bunker doing the best job I can. Like I said, this is our second shot. The power is going out here in California. We hope everyone has a good rest of their Sunday. It was a rough way to wake up. But at the end of the day, it's always darkest before the dawn. And I think this might be the moment where we move on to a new manager. And I think positively about it. And I actually think positively of Ole as well. I'm not anti-Ole. I just think it's like, all right, it's clear. Time to move on. Ole, thanks for the squad you assembled. It is an all-star studded squad. Unbelievable squad he assembled. Really. The team we look at now on the team sheet, it's full of killers. And Zidane can use those killers. Our world-class manager can use those killers. And I hope that this is the moment that we sort of move in a new direction. can only go up from here, right? We have a week to think about it. We got Tottenham at the weekend. Alex is coming back from the UK. We will get you a Tottenham preview podcast midweek, probably Wednesday, and we will go on from there. Again, thanks for everyone who listens to America Red Devils. We're for fans, by fans. You want to support us, check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Drop a review on iTunes. It's free. Goes a long way to support this small-time operation. Going to jump into our top 10 cities last 7 days for downloads. Thank you, guys. You guys are the real MVPs for listening. Franklin, Virginia. Taylor, South Carolina. Maple Shade, New Jersey. Big shout-out to New Jersey, where Alex and I are from. Orange, California. Dublin, Ireland. Have a dark ale. Chicago, Illinois, Chesapeake, Virginia, Freehold, New Jersey, Montgomery, Alabama, Los Angeles, California. Thank you guys for listening week in, week out. Going to leave you here with a special song. Like Alex said, the Stretford End, it was arising in the 80th minute, and we're going to leave you with the Stretford End is arising, because as fans of Manchester United, we need to be back in this club through the darkest days. And these are some of the darkest days. You got to take the licks from the Liverpool fans. They've all been texting me. But at the end of the day, we're going to be singing and supporting this club forever. I'm going to leave you with Stretford End arising. Here we go.